Hello, and welcome to our program, Texas Highways, August Issue, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Patty Martin, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from Texas Highways here on OWL Radio. And our first two articles are about plates and dyeing. The first is titled Cherry on Top. Excuse me. Shoppers flock to Royer's Round Top Cafe for elevated comfort food by Gabrielle Nicole Farms. Despite Round Top's tiny population of 93 residents, it's become an oasis for antique lovers across the country. Located about 80 miles outside of Austin, the quaint town is home to the renowned Round Top Antiques Fair, which caters to those looking to treasure hunt for rare relics and fanciful finds. Twice a year for a week in the spring and fall, a swarm of shoppers descend upon Round Top, needing dining options to keep them fueled for the task at hand. Thankfully, visitors can experience some of the tastiest fare in the state at Royer's Round Top Cafe on Main Street. Helmed by married couple J.B. and Jamie Royer, the town's mainstay cafe offers a welcoming atmosphere that combines the familiar feel of a dive bar with the reliable fare of a local diner. Royer's specializes in contemporary comfort food. The cafe's interior is full of retro signs and memorabilia with a dash of eclectic diner decor. Some of the eatery's most popular pies include the sweet and salty chocolate caramel pie and the lemon blueberry with granola topping. The cafe, founded in 1987 by JB's parents, Bud and Dr. Karen Royer, originally served as a grocery store and restaurant called Burkleback's from 1947 to 1981. Bud, Karen, and their four children moved to Round Top from Houston in 1987 and took over the 40-seat cafe. When my dad started, he had a good palate. He was not a cook or chef at all, but over the years, he knew what he liked, JB says. Excuse me. Though Bud was self-taught, he had a vision of evolving Southern-style cuisine. He reasoned that since the eatery was in the middle of nowhere, they wanted to be known for something unique, JB says. Thus, gourmet comfort food became their staple. Diners can kick off their meal with the shrimp BLT, followed by the cuts-like-butter steak filet, and finished with the staple Texas trash pie, a blissful blend of caramel, chocolate chips, graham crackers, coconut, and pretzels. Sounds yummy. JB grew up working weekends at the eatery while attending the University of Texas and took over as owners nearly 7 years ago. Though the cafe has garnered national attention and praise from the Today Show, CBS Sunday Morning, and Eater, The Royer's success hasn't come without challenges. In 2020, the cafe had to amend operations and lost out on the big antique show crowd due to the pandemic. Jamie had to pick me up off the ground outside crying because I didn't know how we would make it, JB says. We bought the food and prepped, and it's canceled. I was like, how are we going to survive? Jamie adds, it's a huge week for us. We buy and prep a lot of extra food. Immediately, the cafe created casseroles for curbside purchase. Then they donated 10% back to churches in Houston and Brenham to promote the cafe's new drive-through initiative. The Royers also hosted virtual cooking classes where customers could buy a food kit in advance and attend Cooking with JB and Jamie online. It was a stressful few years, so after the 2022 holiday season, they closed for a week to give everyone time to recuperate and relax with their families. One unexpected benefit of the pandemic was the friendships forged between the staff and their customers. 75% of the people who walk through the door are repeat customers. We found some of our best friends here who we knew but didn't really know until they came in, Jamie says. Being a close, tight-knit group here means everything. This year, the Royers hope to take their cooking classes on the road. The couple has traveled to different culinary hotspots over the years, which inspired them to create versions of the foods they've tasted. These inventive dishes are in their cookbook, Cooking with JB and Jamie, Royers Round Top Cafe, released last spring. We come back a lot of times from these places and choose one item that we ate while we were there, Jamie says. So we've got a handful of things on the menu and in the cookbook, like our Nashville hot chicken sandwich. The cookbook also contains signature Royers dishes and desserts, including the popular lavender chicken salad and Not My Mom's apple pie. The Royers want to continue strengthening their focus on community. We're centered on food and helping kids and families, JB says. There are more than people just on the streets needing food. There are people living in houses who don't have food. So we really want to get a foundation started. Longtime Royers diner Stephen Puckett can attest to the warmth of the establishment and the family behind it. He has witnessed the Royers pray over a meal at the table or for a specific need of a family. Their genuine concern for you and your family is something to behold, Puckett says. Stay and play in Round Top. The Frenchy Boutique Hotel, each of the 14 rooms starting at $250 a night at this revamped 1800s farmhouse, has a distinct personality. Guests can access the pool atop a sprawling green landscape and book an in-room massage to unwind. Go to roundtoptxhotels.com for more information. Blissful Folly Farm. Sip mead on an open-air patio at this hilly 30-acre organic farm. Home to honey-based boozy libations, the farm hosts live music and game and movie nights under a large pavilion. Their website is blissfulfollyfarm.com. Junk Gypsy. No round-top excursion is complete without visiting Junk Gypsy. Whether you're searching for unique antiques, the perfect handcrafted necklace, one-of-kind clothing, or other unexpected finds, this boutique offers a variety of distinctive wares. Go to gypsyville.com for more information. Texas Cotton Gin Museum. This museum and National Historic Landmark has three buildings: the Waring Shoe Shop and Residence, built in 1916, the Cotton Warehouse in the 1914 Farmer's Cotton Gin, the oldest operating cotton gin in America. For more information, go to texascottongymuseum.org. And here is a recipe. Texas Trash Pie. This is an excerpt from Cooking with JB and Jamie, Royers Round Top Cafe. Pie crust yields 3 10-inch crusts. A quarter teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of milk, 2 cups minus 3 tablespoons shortening, preferably Crisco, 5 cups of flour. Filling, 1 cup chocolate chips, 1 cup caramel bits, 1 cup pretzels crumbled, 1 cup graham crackers crumbled, 1 cup coconut, 1 stick of butter melted, 14-ounce can sweetened condensed milk. Preheat oven to 350. Prepare the pie dough, dissolve the salt in the milk, then set aside. Cut the shortening into the flour, working thoroughly until the mixture is crumbly. Add milk-salt mixture to flour mixture, then work together until the liquid is absorbed. If needed, add several tablespoons of flour and continue working the dough until it pulls cleanly away from your hands. Divide dough into 3 equal balls. Roll out 1 ball of pie dough and press into a 10-inch pie plate. Freeze the other 2 in plastic bags until needed. Make the filling. Mix all filling ingredients together and pour into pie crust. Bake for 45 minutes. The Round Top Antiques Fair is the largest of its kind in the country, stretching more than 11 miles on either side of State Highway 237. This past year's fall show was October 23rd to 28. Tickets went on sale August the 1st. General admission was $10, while VIP was $25. One ticket was good for all 6 days. Then our other article of plates under the dine category. Second Act, a popular Central Texas brunch spot, provides a path to recovery. By Abigail Rosenthal. At first glance, Comfort Cafe in San Antonio looks like a typical brunch joint. There are plates filled with eggs and bacon, half-inch thick pancakes, and a two-hour wait on Saturday mornings. But the menu doesn't feature a trendy mimosa flight or list any prices for dishes. The most notable difference, a busser or server might stop for a moment to talk openly about their recovery from addiction. Comfort Cafe is a pay what you want for whatever you can restaurant with locations in Smithville and San Antonio. The cafes are run by Serenity Star, a recovery center founded by couple Terry and Rosie Lopez. All proceeds from its weekend brunches support the center, and everyone who works at the cafes is in recovery from addiction or alcoholism. The anonymity that goes on in 12-step rooms, we kind of just say, no, Rosie says. This should be the badge of honor, our survival skills in recovery. We want to put a face to people in recovery. Terry and Rosie were recovering alcoholics themselves when they met in a 12-step group in New York in the early 2000s. Rosie had been trying to get sober for 18 years, and Terry had worked as an addiction counselor. In 2005, they decided to pack up and move to Smithville, a small town about 45 minutes southeast of Austin that Terry became enamored with after visiting a family friend. They started hosting Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in their new hometown, and the meetings quickly grew to 28 sessions a week. From there, they developed their own 12-step program based on their experiences. In 2009, Serenity Star gained official nonprofit status. The couple rented a few different spaces over the years, but raising money was tough. We were hosting garage sales to pay the rent, and it was just so exhausting, Rosie says. Their solution was Comfort Cafe, which opened its first location in Smithville in 2010. A local woman who had inherited the restaurant space offered it to Terry and Rosie, both of whom had plenty of experience in the kitchen. Rosie in actual restaurants and Terry as part of a big Italian family that loved to cook. It was crazy how fast it went, Rosie says. We were renting from her and took the restaurant on, and she left everything there. It was just beautiful. The mission behind Comfort Cafe isn't the only thing that brings in hundreds of patrons each weekend. Both locations have a homey charm that's not unlike your favorite aunt's kitchen. Kitschy decals in the San Antonio location encourage you to keep smiling, and a sign promises love, light, and pancakes. While Smithville's location is dotted with knickknacks, the San Antonio location also includes a spacious patio with hand-built picnic tables and a waiting area with board games. Consistently featured on best brunch lists in the area, the San Antonio location was named the second best brunch spot in the country by Yelp in May. Tiffany Galvan, a small business owner and nonprofit fundraising consultant in San Antonio, first visited the city's Comfort Cafe location in early 2020 on her parents' recommendation. You can taste the love in the food and how it's prepared with so much care and concern and pride, she says. Comfort Cafe works simply enough. People in the program spend weekdays in classes, meetings, and support groups. Then on the weekends, they can choose where to contribute to the program, whether it's carpentry, working in the garden, serving, or cooking. All jobs help sustain Serenity Star. 12-step programs talk about service as a way to stay sober, Terry says. So this allowed us to do classes at the beginning of the week, open up the restaurant on weekends, and practice what we learned. It also allows them to directly connect with the community over a warm meal. When people came in and fell in love with our food, they were willing to hear what we were doing, Terry says. As the program gained support, Serenity Star expanded to San Antonio in 2019. Austin Payne currently works in the kitchen at the San Antonio location and credits Comfort Cafe for his own recovery journey. He'd gone through 14 recovery and rehabilitation programs and continued to relapse, squatting in an abandoned home in North Austin when, he says, he emotionally broke one morning. But at that moment, his mother called him from Smithville's Comfort Cafe, where she had just finished eating and learned about Serenity Star. This place was different, she told him, and sent him a photo of the brochure. Payne called Serenity Star, packed a backpack, and was there that afternoon. Now, more than 4 years later, he's guiding others who walk into the cafe looking for help, or those who happen to pound it. A lot of the times I was the first person who someone talked to, where it went deeper than just, I'm a person in recovery, Payne says. That's why Comfort Cafe really is the bridge. This is where a lot of connections are made. Terry and Rosie estimate 1,500 to 1,800 people have gone through Serenity Star's program since 2009. It wasn't always easy. The duo was often treated with suspicion in the early days of Smithville's Comfort Cafe. But after people started to come in and talk with them, the community quickly embraced Serenity Star. They found the same support in San Antonio. There were times we had to rent due on the 1st, and it was the 30th, and it was like, we don't have it, Rosie says. And then someone would come in and slam us the check for rent money without us even asking. Terry and Rosie have big plans for Serenity Star's future. Not only does the nonprofit run the cafes, but it also owns 10 acres down the road from the Smithville location. Called Serenity Star Ranch, the land has three buildings that serve as no-cost residences for people in the program. Most recently, they purchased more than 3 acres in San Antonio to build a residential recovery space like the one in Smithville. We never expected the program to be this big or last this long, Terry says. But along the way, Comfort Cafe has become a community staple, which means Terry and Rosie can continue to serve food alongside the people they're leading through recovery and hopefully help break the stigma of addiction at the same time. I really feel that customers get more knowledge when they come here, Rosie says. They're leaving with a belly full and a mind and a heart full of happiness. Comfort Cafe in Smithville is located at 111 Northwest 1st Street, Smithville. It's open Friday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Comfort Cafe in San Antonio is located at 2015 Northeast Loop 410 in San Antonio, and it's open Friday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And next, we have Making Space. Texana, welcome to the historic community of Tamina, settled in 1871. Freedom colonies were a safe haven for formerly enslaved people after emancipation, by Michael Hurd. Family history plays an important role in the research of Andrea Roberts, the founder of the Texas Freedom Colonies Project. She started the project as a doctoral student at the University of Texas at Austin in 2014 to study the towns founded by freed black families and friends after emancipation, including Houston area Riceville, where Roberts' family are longtime residents. Freedom colonies were intentional black community creations, not where people were pushed to live by default, says Roberts, who holds a PhD in community and regional planning. Her project includes an interactive map of Freedom Colony locations in Texas. So far, 557 names of towns founded between 1866 and 1930 have been identified through archival research, Of those, 489 have been verified as having existed, though only 10% were ever incorporated as legal towns. All are the subjects of growing research, exploration, and discovery by both scholars and descendants. After emancipation, the great majority of the 250,000 newly freed Texas slaves scattered from plantations in search of somewhere they could call their own. They seemed to want to get closer to freedom, like it was a place or a city, said freedman Felix Haywood of San Antonio in the Slave Narratives. First-person accounts from former slaves collected in the 1930s for the Federal Writers Project. Freedom was visualized as a place, a self-contained haven created by Black families and friends, beginning their newfound independence and relative peace and isolation, and in total control, according to Roberts. They bought land or squatted, built homes, churches, and schools, buried loved ones, and farmed in these small settlements. Historical markers throughout East Texas, where slave populations were most dense, note surviving communities, schools, cemeteries, and churches. But Roberts' map identifies locations to the south, like Rest Lawn Cemetery near Edinburgh and as far west as the Doyle District near Kerrville. Here we explore the stories of three colonies holding on to their heritage. Shankleville. Most freedom colonies share similar founding stories, but none are as improbable as a tale of Jim and Winnie Shankle's endearing romance that led to the founding of Shankleville in East Texas, Newton County. In the 1840s, the couple were enslaved in Mississippi when Winnie and her three children were taken to what is now Newton County. Yearning to reunite with his wife, Jim escaped and navigated 400 miles by foot, mostly at night to avoid slave patrols. They reunited one day at dusk when he found Winnie, still enslaved, working near a spring. After emancipation, the couple became the first African Americans to buy land in Newton County. Along with friends and family members, they built prosperous farms, churches, a cotton gin, grist mills, sawmills, and schools, which operated from 1883 to 1909, according to a 2016 article in the Longview News Journal. Lariatha Clay, a descendant of the Shankles, is an advocate for acknowledging and teaching Shankleville's history. They used to say, if you meet Lariatha after 5 minutes, you'll know all about Shankleville, Clay says. Clay's knowledge about freedom colonies was enhanced in the 1980s while living in Orlando, Florida, where she served on the city's Historic Preservation Board. She helped stage the nationally recognized Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities in the writer's hometown of Eatonville, one of the first self-governing African-American communities in the U.S., founded in 1887. The festival was developed to reinvigorate Eatonville. I volunteered there for 4 or 5 years, and I thought, this could work for Shankleville, Clay recalls. But what can we do? We don't have a Zora Neale Hurston, no famous person who grew up in Shankleville. What can we use? Purple Hull Peas. She started the annual Purple Hull Pea Festival in 2014 as a nod to the staple crop in Shankleville. Some years, historians, preservationists, and archaeologists present at the event and address the history, social foundations, and challenges of surviving communities. Our next community is County Line. The remoteness of the county line, Freedom Colony, defines its charm, at least to Beatrice Upshaw. She is the 12th of 13 children born to Leota and Monell, who is descended from Gus Upshaw, one of three brothers who founded the town in the 1870s. The secluded Piney Woods community is 20 miles northwest of Nacogdoches, which means long drives if you're looking for a grocery store. That's part of what you do if you live out here, Beatrice explains. We were quite sheltered geographically and culturally, just a community of Black folks. The sense of community, the village, was very much a thing for us. Her memoir, A Biscuit for Your Shoe, recalls how John Upshaw, the family patriarch, had borrowed $75 in gold in 1875 from L.C. Whitaker to grow his own crop of cotton and corn on Whitaker's land in Douglas. The Upshaw brothers followed that by purchasing land nearby, which became County Line. The three brothers farmed, milled, and worked as blacksmiths to support the fast-growing community. Originally spread out over 1 square mile, the town grew to 8 square miles of disappearing forest and declining population just east of the Angelina River. There are so few of us now, and everything yet that used to be farm and ranch land is now just trees and brush, Beatrice says. People moved away, people died. There just isn't anyone here to farm and ranch like in times past. And then the last community is called Tamina. Progress has already put down roots in Tamina. The town's approximately 1,000 residents are mostly descendants of the 1871 founding freedmen who came to the area to help construct the Houston and Great Northern Railroad and later worked at Grogan's Mill. Tamina, pronounced Tam-me-na or Tam-man-ni, sits near the Woodlands in Shenandoah. For several decades, the town has fought for basic services and earlier this year came to an agreement with the city of Shenandoah to use federal funds to install sewage and water lines. Even so, Tamina's existence hangs in the balance as gentrification gradually nudges the vibrant, tight-knit settlement toward its likely demise, to be replaced by upscale housing and commercial development. Some outsiders consider Tamina an eyesore, yet locals report weekly phone calls, offers from developers, and sightings of prospective land and homebuyers cruising the colony's narrow roads. We could be in a different financial status, but we're fighting for the community, says James Leviston, president of Tamina's water board and a retired airline mechanic. Leviston and his wife Julia are lifelong Tamina residents, passionate about protecting a rural life centered on family, friends, and neighbors. It's my home. I grew up here, says Julia, a retired Houston ISD secretary. We had cows, horses, pigs, chickens. Daddy grew everything but cotton, corn, peas, squash, okra, cantaloupes, and we gave to all the neighbors. They were rough days, but good days. Rita Wiltz works to preserve Tamina and its history as founder and executive director of the nonprofit Children's Books on Wheels, which provides reading materials to children in and around Montgomery County. Tamina will survive, Wiltz says. We have survived. We are survivors. Living history. Find historical markers, churches, cemeteries, or neighborhoods at these Freedom Colony sites. Dixie Freedom Colony established 1853. Settlement and church markers. Dixie Missionary Baptist Church is the oldest slave-built church in Texas. Doyle District in Kerrville, established 1909. Doyle Colored School Historical Marker. The one-room schoolhouse had no utilities until running water was installed in 1920 and electric lights were installed in 1923. Edinburgh's Restlawn Cemetery, established 1928. Cemetery and marker, believed to be the only graveyard in Hidalgo County dedicated to African-American burials. Riceville, established 1850s. Cemetery and marker. The cemetery is located on the original grounds of Riceville's Mount Olive Baptist Church. And last, St. John's Colony, established 1873. Community and marker, originally named Wynn's Colony in honor of John H. Wynn, the community name was changed to St. John Colony after Wynn organized St. John Missionary Baptist Church in 1873. You have been listening to Texas Highways, August issue on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Patty Martin saying goodbye from Owl Radio.